You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings. Join in the conversation. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to the Drift Radio Show. It's been a while, and good to be back in podcast form here at the Drift, and glad to, man, it's good to be back and be able to vent a little bit. We've been out doing all kinds of crazy things, and I'm now podcasting from home. What I've done the last few months is set up a studio at the house, and it seems to be working, I think, now. I should be able to get a rudimentary podcast. I'll have some refining to do, but boy, it's good to be back. I still have to work on getting my phones set up. I do have something, but it's not quite right yet, so we'll have to work on that, but we're getting there. So welcome to The Drift, and what we do on The Drift Radio is talk about the news that we put on thedailydrift.com, and if you're not going to thedailydrift.com, you should. www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know, and if you're looking for a conservative news aggregate, thedailydrift.com is a good one. So I've been doing it since, in one form or another, since about 2009, our present form, 2011. So it was about the same time I started doing radio at WAM Talk 1600, and I'm not on WAM anymore, so but we're handling it, and we're doing all right, so hopefully we'll get squared away. Well, let's start out this week. I don't know if anyone was following me on social media this week, and if you want to follow me on social media, at Gary Daily Drift on Twitter, or Gary Wellings The Daily Drift on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram, too. I haven't quite figured out how to work the Instagram angle yet, but I'm trying, making the effort, right? So I'm also on Gab, if anyone's even using Gab anymore, and then Parlay, and you can see me again at Gary Daily Drift on Parlor and Twitter. Twitter is my favorite social media. That's what I work on. So definitely look me up, follow me, and I'll follow you right back. So it's one way of doing it. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for sticking with me throughout this time. I've had a bunch of emails from people saying, hey, when are you coming back? And like I said, I've just been trying to work on getting a studio set up so I could do it from home. It's so much easier. And I don't have to do it at a particular time anymore. What I'll try and do is preload and let people know when I'm going to do it, so that if you want to call in, you'll be able to call in like you used to on the radio show. But I got to work on that a little bit. And we've got a bunch of guests lined up. We'll have Congressman Tim coming back, of course, Tim Walberg, and some other guests. So as we get settled in here and get things going, we'll even get guests live here in studio on my big comfy couch here in the tiny little studio. It'll be comfortable and crowded, I can assure you all, getting real familiar with each other. But hopefully we'll get into that and do a wonderful job with it. But I want to take care of a little business here. If you're looking for a used car, or a second car, or a car for your first-time student driver, try Time Auto in Plymouth, Michigan. Time Auto, that's T-Y-M-E Auto. Go see JR. He's got a good selection of cars. Financing is not an issue, with proper qualifications, of course. And just a great guy. They've been in business for a long, long time, so they're not going anywhere. They're reputable, and they're in Plymouth, easy to get to. And nice selection of cars. I've been driving past there for years and finally met JR and talked to him. So when my student driver becomes eligible, I will be putting him into a car there myself. So I've already talked to JR about that. So give him a holler. Okay, well, I'm going to check the sound quality on this and see what it looks like. But it sounds, it looks on the screen here. This is the problem. Now, I don't have anybody taking care of production for me, so I have to handle the computers and the soundboard and everything myself. I don't know how those guys down at the station did it. Therone, who does the 3-6 spot down there, does his own soundboard all the time and does a wonderful job at it. And I probably should have been doing more of that myself. But I've bought some equipment and microphones and whatnot. And boy, they're pretty sensitive when you go with these analog. I guess they call them professional for a reason, right? But we're working on it. So what I did this week was go through So anyways, let's get back into this. I was trying to tell you earlier in the week, I went to the Battle Creek Trump rally, the Merry Christmas rally, and boy, was it a barn burner. Now, not the biggest of venues. I think when we looked online, it was a 9,800 person venue, and they said there was quite a few thousand people out front. I got in early and stayed in early, so I never got to see the crowds outside. It was cold. Oh boy, it started early in the morning, did some volunteer, and ended up managing to get in the expedited and sitting up right behind Donald Trump at the top there, so about 80 feet behind him, and wow, it was awesome. Good to see VP Pence there and some of the other speakers that they had, but it was awesome. It was awesome. So always good to hear. I will go back and see another one if he comes to Michigan again or anywhere close, Ohio or something, but definitely worth doing. So if you haven't been to a Trump rally, you gosh darn it, you gotta go. It's really just an awesome, awesome event. What we did was rent a room the night before, so we were there early in the morning, and then we just spent the night there again. So thanks to my buddy Sam for going with me. I made it a bearable and an easy trip, so it worked out. Battle Creek is a cute little town. If you haven't been on the west side of Michigan in a while, check out Battle Creek, Kalamazoo area. Great locations to do weekend trips or day trips or whatever you want to do. But let's go ahead and turn ourselves, shall we, to the headlines, and we'll start with thedailydrift.com. Monday, December 23rd, we're a couple days out of Christmas at this point. I've been off work for about a week now and feeling pretty good about the whole thing. So starting with the headlines was Donald Trump was saying something kind of nice about Tulsi Gabbard because Tulsi Gabbard is saying it was wrong to vote for impeachment. So it's kind of nice, right, to see that. President Trump defended Representative Tulsi Gabbard against claims she works for Russia and said that he respects the Hawaii Democrat for not voting to impeach him, which is, seems odd. She's probably, you know, being a military person, she comes from a little different background than your average Democrat. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Tulsi's the one, right? I would not vote for Tulsi because she is a Democrat, and no matter what she tries to look like as being non-related to the super libs on the left, I'm not buying it. She can have whatever fights and say whatever she wants about Clinton and so and whatnot, but I'm not buying it. I just don't think it's there. So, but it's nice to know that there's still some Democrats who aren't completely loony and on the left that are looking for a way to just get rid of Trump and get rid of all the Republicans and take away all our rights, because that's in the end what Democrats, today's Democratic Party, is doing, right? They're trying to get rid of your Second Amendment rights. They want to control all the healthcare system, and God only knows what'll happen when that, you know, we already went through the lies and had our costs increase with Obamacare, and the president, thank goodness, has managed to kind of put the brakes on that action. But it's exactly what the Democrats said it was going to be, that Obamacare was that first step toward controlling one-fifth of the economy and taking over healthcare. Now, I know some people in healthcare, and I ask them the same questions. They don't seem to have any answers. What is it that drives up the cost of that? But it is what it is, right? You just don't want to be voting for any Democrat at this point, no matter how good they may seem like they are or anything else. It's just not the people you want to be voting in. We can't risk the Democrats and their liberalism right now. You've seen what it's done to the country in the last 50 years. But during a Sunday speech before a raucous crowd at Turning Point USA, Trump mocked former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Green Party candidate Jill Stein over what they did in the 2016 election, recounting votes, and then Hillary Clinton moving on to call the election wrong with the Russian collusion and all the rest of it. So we've now seen, after 3 years and the Mueller investigation and now this phony Ukrainian hoax on top of the Russian hoax, that it's falling apart. And I'm hoping between now and November 20th, because we're 11 months out, right? 11 months from the new election. And doggone it, folks, you can't just make sure you're registered to vote. You want to do that, but you got to get out and do a little campaigning on your own. You know, take a look at your Republican friends, your conservative friends, make sure that they are on board with this. And make sure, you know, we need, I'm not a straight ticket guy as a rule. I don't believe in voting the big party lines. I'm normally a guy that looks at each candidate individually and makes that decision. But you know what? That has been taken away from me because there's not a Democrat out there anymore that I've seen that I would vote for. Would you? Is there, you know, feel free to let me know, Gary@thedailydrift.com. If you want to send me an email or go online and Twitter me or Facebook me, whatever, knock yourself out. But if you know a Democrat, please let me know. If there's a reasonable Democrat, an old school Democrat out there, I'd love to get them on the show, have them come on out, and we'll give it a shot. But I'm not buying it. So I think for 2020, I'm going to go right to the Republican list and just hit it, you know, straight ticket right down in November of 2020 and call it good, because you know what? I don't trust the Democrats anymore. And I really think that party has just disintegrated. It's gone so far to the left that it's left those union workers, those hardworking blue collar people that would normally consider themselves to be Democrats. They're no longer Democrats. They're looking at Donald Trump and saying, that's the guy. He's the one that's putting people back to work, making the environment possible for businesses to get back into expanding and growing and hiring people again. Wages are up. I mean, it's all about the economy in the end. Each and every one of us has that issue to deal with. And we got bills to pay, right? Houses to buy, rents to pay, children to take care of, children to send to college, whatnot. That all requires money. So in the end, it's the pocketbook, it's the economy, and that's what's going on. And the economy is fantastic. So don't let any of these Democrats, including Tulsi Gabbard, fool you into thinking that there are good Democrats left, because we all know there really isn't any good Democrats left. That's just gone. And I can tell you here exactly what it was that Tulsi said. Representative Tulsi Gabbard on Thursday defended her decision to vote present during the House's impeachment vote, saying she does not believe in good conscience that she could vote either yes or no, which again, right? So she kind of took that present as opposed to saying no and hurting the feelings of the other Democrats, right? But it is what it is. We move on and see what happened there. There was a total of two Democrats that voted against impeachment. Tulsi voted present, and all the Republicans voted against it as well. So impeachment is a hoax. It's phony. And now we've seen since that impeachment vote that Nancy Pelosi is not sending over the impeachment articles to the Senate. And again, this is part of that play. You can start guessing, was she just trying to placate the wild left in her party by going through with this impeachment? Is she not going to send it over? Is she worried that when the Senate acquits Trump, that it ends up having an opposite effect on the election? Because I think that's what it comes down to, right? We've heard the Democrats, Al Greens, the Maxine Waters, all saying we need to impeach this president before he gets reelected. Well, you know what? What are you saying to the American people when you say that? You're telling the American people, we can't let you have your decision. We can't abide by having the decision that you made to have Donald Trump, because they've never gotten over 2016. It's a disgrace, and we need to make sure that we somehow get out in 2020, get our votes counted, and make sure there's voter IDs in place, that there's plenty of poll watchers. And that's something you can do. You can volunteer to be a poll watcher. You can volunteer to just work the polls if you want. You'll actually get paid for that. But to be checking people's IDs. Now, when I show up at the voting poll, I've always shown an ID. Most of the people I've seen always show IDs. But you can literally sign the back saying, yes, I am. I just don't have the ID with me, and go ahead and vote. And I think that's partly where you see some voter fraud coming in. Does anyone go back and check on those? Allegedly, they do, right? But I don't know that it's true. And we've seen things like in Detroit with thousands of people on the voter rolls that don't belong there. They're dead or moved away. We've seen all kinds of stuff across the country with that. And in New York this week as well, we saw that the New York DMV is now giving driver's licenses to illegals. What, do you think those driver's licenses are going to work as ID when you go ahead and vote illegally? Yes, they are. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's what Democrats across the board are trying to do. They want to take the 20-odd million illegals who are in this country and get them voting Democrat, because you know what? those of us with brains, whether you're in the urban setting, whether you're white, whether you're black, you're Asian or Hispanic, if you're a working stiff in this country, if you're a guy that goes out and pays your taxes and loses 30% of your income to taxes like I do, you end up seeing what's happening. And you end up knowing that, you know what, the Democrats are hurting us because that's my money. I work hard for that. And you're giving it to people who, well, either don't deserve it or you're spending it on programs that are nonsense. Give me the military. Give me the FAA. Give me the bare minimums when it comes to big government, because I don't want it. All it does is hurt me and cost me more and make my life harder to live when you've got all these regulations. Stifles the economy, stifles people trying to start their own business. It's crazy. So I don't want to be voting for a Democrat. Let's move on. We'll look at a big story about Elizabeth Warren, because if you watched the last debate at all, she went after Pete Buttigieg and said that he was now kind of the ritzy, representing the millionaire billionaires by having a wine cavern fundraiser out in California. Well, she did the same thing in Boston not too long back. So this is the pot calling the kettle black, right? Any of these Democrats who are out there saying, oh, I'm poor and I only take money from the poor, that's nonsense. You know, Bernie Sanders, you're not poor. You call yourself a socialist, but you've got 3 mansions, multiple cars, and you're a millionaire. And you never worked a day in your life outside of government? What? Now, Elizabeth Warren, same way, professor, politician. These are people who have not worked for real jobs in their lives, and yet they're trying to tell us how to run our lives. It's insane. Okay, well, anyways, let's just keep going through the headlines here. This is our first podcast back, so I'm going to keep it short today. I'll just try and get through today's Daily Drift. DailyDrift.com. If you're not going there, again, make sure you do. It's a great conservative aggregate, news aggregate. And but speaking of, if you've been watching Drudge over the last, I don't know, 6-9 months now, they've been getting, Drudge has gotten pretty far left, very anti-Trumpish anyways. And it kind of makes you wonder why it is that's doing that. The Drudge Report was always, Matt Drudge was a very big supporter of the president through the primaries. And even after he was elected for these first couple of years, it's only in the last 9 months, maybe 6 months, that all of a sudden something's changed. And I'm not the only one noticing it. A lot of personalities on TV and radio have noticed it. And I'm sure you have as well. So it is kind of strange that all of a sudden, you know, the go-to site that we all used over the years is suddenly kind of squirreling left and anti-Trumpish. So it's very strange. But make sure you go to thedailydrift.com. Happy to have you take a look at it. I peruse the internet. I spend time every day putting that together, pulling the news you need to know and putting it on there. It's the stuff you don't always find on the mainstream media. So, but you can check it out. So something that they're not talking a whole lot about, I did actually see it on Fox today as well. That's the great job that Mitch McConnell has done in the Senate with the president's picks for federal judge positions that have been left open over the years. And I think we're at like 182, 187, something like that. And it's really mind-boggling to me that there were that many open positions, and even more mind-boggling that Mitch McConnell has done such a good job of getting those judge positions filled, and filled with, thank goodness, conservatives, because it's the court system that seems to be relied on so much now by the libs to kind of change America, and they're not getting away with it anymore. And, you know, and that goes to speak to one of the greatest reasons why we need 4 more years of President Trump, is to make sure that the Supreme Court, which has been liberal for decades, finally comes around to a conservative side to it. You know, if we can get a replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a conservative, even a moderately conservative, I'd be happy with anything other than that. If we can get 1, maybe even 2 more SCOTUS positions with Donald Trump in office, it's the way to go. He says he's going to continue pushing that the original list he had. And I think Amy Conan Bryant, is that her name, would be the next one coming in. Yeah, Amy Conan Bryant, I think, is the name. So that's what we need to do. Just another great reason why we must give President Trump another 4 years. But you're not hearing that in the mainstream media. They don't talk about that. Of course not. They don't want you to know. You know, you would think they would, because they'd want to energize their liberal base and get them upset and get them out to vote. But they're not obviously talking about it, because nobody wants to give Trump in the media a pat on the back for what he's doing, right? And then let's see. Let's scroll down the list here a little bit. How about Putin's comments on the president's impeachment? Putin kind of trolled the Dems, the way I look at it. He's calling the impeachment far-fetched, and you have to ask yourself, what's going on with that, right? Now, the people on the left are probably looking at it, see, look, Putin's against impeachment. That's because he wanted Donald Trump. He put Donald Trump into office, and he's just a puppet of Putin. I don't know that that's really the case. I think when you look at what sanctions Trump, and he's put hard sanctions on Russia. You can't say he's done. He's helped stop. There was an article today that sanctions are now, it just came out, I just saw it a few minutes ago, that the Russian pipeline to Western Europe has been stalled because of the sanctions that the United States has put on Russia. So there's no way Putin was happy that Donald Trump became president. You know, just no way at all. If there was a puppet for Putin, it had to be Hillary Clinton, right? She's the one that sold off 20% of her uranium to Russian conglomerates. Her husband's the one that got $500,000 for a speech in Russia. You know, it's Bill Clinton who stayed at the DACA for Putin in Russia, right? So if anyone's a Putin puppet, it would be Hillary. Without a doubt, it's the Hillary and the Democrats who are all working in collusion. I mean, for crying out loud, folks. Fusion GPS dossier, you know, really? The Christopher Steele dossier, that was all paid for by Hillary Clinton. And you're using that. That's connected to Russia. So you can't be calling Donald Trump a Russian puppet by any stretch of the imagination. But for me, what I think, and I think Putin is being successful at it by saying that the impeachment is far-fetched, which it is, and it's the truth. The truth shall set you free is right. He also continues to divide America by putting his two cents into the ring, right? Throws that hat in there and says, oh, yeah, the impeachment stuff, it's pretty far-fetched. Well, then that just gives fuel to the Democrats to say, hey, look, if Putin likes it, then we must be on the right track, right? Or if Putin doesn't like it, then we're on the right track. But I don't think that's the fact at all. I mean, in my own feelings, Putin's no saint. He's not a good guy. He's a criminal, whatever you want to call him. I wouldn't call him a communist, for sure. He may have been former KGB, but he was in it for himself back then, as most of the elites in the Communist Soviet Party were. He's still in it for himself. He's probably one of the wealthiest guys on the planet, and the most powerful guys on the planet. But he's a globalist. Or a nationalist for Russia, and he doesn't like the globalists, which is one of the reasons he doesn't like George Soros. I always like to tweet out, arrest Soros now and send him to Putin, let him punish him, you know, instead of us having to handle that. But you have to look at it in the whole context. Even Putin can see that this is far-fetched nonsense. There was no crime there. And for Nancy Pelosi to be withholding these articles of impeachment, well, you know why she's holding. She doesn't know what to do with it now. She got her vote. She's proceeded to that point. She knows that she's stuck with this impeachment. What she's going to do with it is beyond me. You'll just have to wait and see. I hope. And again, get hold of me if you got other ideas. I hope that I was kind of watching Lindsey Graham. A lot of people, including myself, were giving him grief when he said, we're going to get a quick vote on this. As soon as I have 51 votes, we're going to dismiss the articles of impeachment. And at first, I was like, no, that's not right. Here's the opportunity, right? Here's our opportunity to bring in all the witnesses. Bring in Adam Schiff and let's show the lies. Make him plead the fifth, whatever he's going to do. Let's bring in testimony from the president of Ukraine, from the foreign minister of Ukraine. And I've tweeted this kind of stuff out to Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and whatnot. But I think when Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, we want to nip this in the bud. We don't want to give any credibility to this impeachment because it is partial, right? It's all partisan. There's no impartiality to it at all. If there's any bipartisan, it's against it because we had three Democrats vote present or no against it and all the Republicans. So I can see the point that Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham are now saying, wait a minute, let's not give it any credibility. Let's not give it any legality. Let's just get our votes and close it down and be done with it. That's fine. If you do that, I expect Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and Chuck Grassley and Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and the whole rest of them to go after new investigations over Ukraine, because I think this Ukraine disease that's spreading over there and spreading to us needs to be uncovered. You know, has it been nipped in the bud in Ukraine? Maybe. Maybe the corruption is now stopped with Zelensky being elected, but we need to know what happened. And we're talking about billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars that allegedly looks like it disappeared in Ukraine. And if that's the case, where did that money go? You know, are these articles that show George Soros organizations getting that money? Are we directly paying George Soros? Is that what Barack Obama did? Is that what Joe Biden did? Were they giving money to George Soros? And if that's the case, was there kickbacks coming back to the Democratic Party, to the Clinton crime syndicate, to Bill and Hillary, to Joe Biden and his son Hunter, or to Barack Obama himself? Barack Obama is one of these guys. Article today, I'll try and get it up on tomorrow's Daily Drift. Barack Obama is fast becoming one of the wealthiest ex-presidents ever, at the same time that he costs us more than any ex-president ever. And why is that? Why are we spending more money on that guy if he's so well-loved around the world and across the country? Why does it cost more to protect him than any other previous president? Really, honestly, ask yourself that question. If George Bush was so hated, why shouldn't he be the guy that's the most expensive president to protect? You got to ask yourselves these questions, and we'll get that up for the Tuesday DailyDrift.com, and we'll get it to, and again, www.thedailydrift.com. Make sure you look at that. Flu season ahead, folks. Flu season. Many deaths over 1,500, 15 or 1,800. Let me pull up the story. Over 1,800 deaths from the flu virus this season. If you haven't gotten your flu shot, I go get it. I've had a lot of people say, no, I never get the flu shot. I don't. And granted, some people say there's mercury and other kind of things in there. This year, when I got my flu shot, was the first time ever that I felt a little illish afterward. Maybe that's what it's supposed to do, but I've never felt bad. But I really had a terrible headache that night after I got my flu shot. So maybe my own immune system was down a little bit. But 1,800 is the death toll so far, according to the CDC. So make sure that if you haven't gotten a flu shot yet, go out and get one. Don't mess with it. You know, they say that the 1914 virus or 1917, whatever it was, the big flu that came through, the Spanish flu, and wiped out hundreds of thousands of people across the globe. They say every 100 years you end up getting this super flu that comes through. And I don't know if that's changed because we've been doing vaccinations for so many years now, but is that just pushing it back? Are we overdue for a really, truly bad epidemic of flu? I don't know. It could be coming. I want to take a look at our Mr. Cory Booker, who recently dropped out of the presidential running for the Democrats. You remember a few weeks ago we had the terror attack. It's now been ruled a terror attack by a couple of people in New Jersey. And they ended up being black nationalist gunmen. They opened fire in a Jewish market in the state of New Jersey. Booker issued a statement that did not mention Jews, but did mention fighting gun violence, right? That's what the Democrats like to do. They just want to call it gun violence so that they can kind of use it for gun control. But the senator should have been giving himself a little more credit. The Democrat politician. So Booker had worked to nix the FBI's monitoring of black nationalist terror groups in New Jersey. So once again, you see Democrat policies hurting the American people. In this case, the people that died in this terror attack by a black nationalist group. And it just goes back to show you why a guy like Cory Booker, it's a good thing he dropped out of the race, right? Him and that fabulous Kamala Harris are now out too. The same people, though, that are dumping out because they are unpopular, want to blame the American people for not being open-minded enough to support a black woman and a black man who are running for president. Well, you know what? We did. We supported a black man for president for 8 years. We reelected him. Elected him once and then reelected him for a second 4-year term. Don't call us racist. We just got done having 8 years of a black president. And some people will say he's good. If you're a Democrat and a liberal, you loved him. You know, the American people as a whole must have loved him. We elected him twice. You know, I didn't like him. Despised his policies. But I never called for him to be impeached, and I don't remember. Maybe I did. I'd have to go back through my own shows. But I don't think I ever supported the attacks on Barack Obama like what you see against President Trump. It's an absolute outrage that we see that kind of nonsense coming from the Democrats, right? So, all right, I'm going to call this. We're at about a half-hour mark here, which normally I like to do an hour show, but I want to keep this one short because I want to double-check and see what it sounds like. Hopefully, the sound's okay. Please email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, and let me know what you think of this show and was the sound quality all right and everything else, because I'm going to put this up on Spreaker, and then I'll put it on the website and get it out there. You'll be able to find it on YouTube and all SoundCloud, all the places that it normally goes. But definitely get hold of me, gary@thedailydrift.com. And in the meantime, make sure you're going to the Daily Drift every day for your conservative news aggregate. It's way better than Drudge. I look a little deeper than what you'll see across the board on the mainstream media. And I find some interesting stuff there occasionally, too. So definitely go to thedailydrift.com and reach out to me if you need to. And it's been fun. Good to be back aboard. Look for me. I'll get some information ahead of time out. I'll try and get my phone lines up and running and hopefully start getting back into a regular podcast. So thank you very much, and we'll see you all later.